Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
So in Colossians chapter 2, we're going to look at the fact that we are alive in Christ. We are alive in him, and he has given us so much encouragement here and tells us that we need to be careful. We need to be careful so that we don't get deceived and we're not led astray. So Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, I'm going to read the passage. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of this world, and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with human hands, but put off the body of flesh in the circumcision of the Messiah, having been buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive in him and forgave us all of our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligation that was against us and opposed us and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. So we are told to walk in him. And we read that through Scripture quite often. Walk in Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Be directed by the Spirit. But Paul has a different approach here in Colossians chapter 2 when he tells us that we are to be walking in him and in order that we be strengthened in our faith. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So I've got some passages of Scripture I'm going to read in reference to those things. Colossians 1:10 says, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Walk in Christ. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you being rooted and firmly established in love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, he tells us that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, being built up in him, building our life on a solid foundation, building our life on a foundation that will not fail us, that will not be shaken no matter what happens. We live in earthquake country, and it takes a solid foundation for a building to stand in an earthquake. But the earthquakes of life, we endure if our foundation is in Christ and he is the foundation and the cornerstone of our life, then he sustains us and keeps us. The thing that's interesting about this passage of Scripture is there's absolutely no excuse for failure. Absolutely no excuse for failure because everything is available to us in Christ, rooted and grounded and built up and established. He tells us also to be established in Christ, be established in him. Assuming in Ephesians 4:21, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him because the truth is in Jesus. It doesn't say that Jesus is the truth amongst many truths, many different truths, many different ways that we can live, walk, and talk. No, it talks about the fact that Jesus is the truth, period. You took off your former way of life, the old self that was corrupted by deceitful desires. You were being renewed in the spirit of your mind because the truth is in Jesus Christ. And we need to be established in our faith, strengthened in our faith, understand our faith, be grounded in our faith so that we can stand. We are so fickle. We are so easily swayed. We are so easily deceived. We are so easily influenced. And that's what Paul warns us against here in this passage of Scripture. Not to be deceived with persuasive arguments, not to be deceived, but to be strengthened in our faith and be strong in Christ. Established in our faith as we were taught, overflowing with gratitude. When things are good, we're happy. But when things are difficult, we are, oh man, are you kidding me? This happened, that happened. No, gratitude is an expression of joy, and joy is not the equivalent of happiness. Joy is the peace and tranquility and comfort that we have in a relationship with Jesus Christ that sees us through the difficulty. We can be joyful even when things don't look great. We can be joyful when we don't know where we're going to move. We don't know how that's going to work out yet, but we know that He is able, that we can trust Him. And our joy is based on a relationship with Christ, not on our feelings, not on our circumstances, and certainly not on the hope that we might have that we can figure something out. Because when we make that kind of a decision, it's usually not a great one. Established in the faith. And Paul goes on and he says, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human traditions, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. There's a lot in that verse, and I'm not going to go deeply into it, but we can easily be taken captive by the philosophies that turn us away from our relationship to Christ, turn us away from the peace and the relationship that we have with Him that sees us through difficult times. We actually are easily deceived because we focus on things that are not true, and we get trapped by empty deceit based on human tradition. Paul was trapped in that situation himself, and he understands it very clearly. The Jews had 635 laws that they wrote to add to the law of the Old Testament to control their lives and to rule their lives. They couldn't keep the Old Testament law completely. They added 635 other laws to make it even more confusing. And then they figured out ways that they could justify the fact that they weren't able to keep those laws. Don't be deceived by following traditions that are taught by men, that are taught by the elemental forces of this world, that are not based on Christ. I got a quote written in the corner in my Bible here. It says, Christian philosophy is to love wisdom. To love the wisdom that Jesus gives us by faith. To focus on Him. If we study and understand God's Word to the point that we understand that we can do anything in Christ that we need to do, that He is going to sustain us through any of those situations in our life, and that we will have peace. You know, Galatians 5 tells us one verse, a simple verse. If Christ has set you free, you are free indeed. You're not bound to keep the law. You're not bound to live under the law. You're not bound to be trapped by the law. You are free to live your life in Christ. That doesn't mean we're free to do whatever we think we want to do, because that is actually putting ourselves back under the law and back under sin. But Jesus has set us free so that we can actually live in joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. What He tells us in verse 9, for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by Him, who is the head over every rule every ruler and authority. Now, if you really believe in your heart that Jesus has filled you, and you are grounded in Him simply because of your relationship with Him, and that He can see you through any situation that comes up, regardless of what that situation looks like, then you will be sustained through anything, because Jesus is the head over every ruler and authority in the world, in the heavens. It is amazing to me to read this passage of Scripture and recognize that God has given us everything we need, and the only thing that we don't have is the understanding of how to apply that truth to our lives. How to apply that truth to our lives. How to recognize that He is in control. That He always has everything under control. That He sustains everything. That He holds all things together. That is who Jesus is. And as He moves us forward, He tells us that you are also circumcised in Him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of the Messiah. Now, I know that it sounds very confusing, but let's start with one thing. You were dead in transgressions. You were dead in transgressions. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We have all sinned, whether we are the worst sinner or just a sinner. We have all sinned. He tells us in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The circumcision that we have in Him, that we are set apart. We are set apart for Him because He has taken our sinful nature and brought it under Him. And He has paid the penalty for our sins. We are dead in our transgressions, but we are made alive in Jesus Christ. We are made alive in Him. In verse 13, and this is an amazing truth. If we can just digest this, "You were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive and forgave us all of our trespasses." He erased the certificate of debt. And that's a really important thing to understand. I had breakfast with a group of guys several months ago now, and one of the men in that group said to another fella, he said, "Ask Pastor your question." And I didn't know what that question was going to be. But he said, "Am I forgiven for all my sins? Am I forgiven for all my sins?" And Colossians tells us that very truth. He erased the certificate of debt. Now, that word erased in the Greek means blotted out, wiped away, clean, clean slate, absolute clean slate. It's in the present perfect tense in the Greek language, which it's amazing to me. What language in the world would God have used to describe His message of truth through the New Testament if it had not been the Greek language? We have three tenses in English: past, present, and future. Greek has nine tenses. So when we say present perfect tense, it's because it is absolutely done, past, present, and future. Finished. Done. Not to be brought up again. That's why the Old Testament, David said, "Your sins are as far as the east is from the west." You know, if he had said, David didn't have a globe. He did not have a globe. He didn't have a picture of the earth being round. If he had said, "Your sins are as far as the north is from the south," it would have meant you go south until you go down, and then you go back up north, and then back and around and around and around you go. No. East is west. You can go as far east as you want to go, and you're never going to go west. God said, "Your sins are as far as the east is from the west." Colossians tells us that He erased the debt of sin, the certificate of debt. It's a legal document. That legal document in the spiritual realm was that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were guilty of that sin debt that was borne by us, because it wasn't paid for at that point by Christ. But he tells us here, that certificate of debt, which is a legal document, is nailed to the cross of Christ. When we come to Christ by faith and we believe in Him as Lord and Savior, we are redeemed by Him and we are made alive by Him. He tells us that we are free from that debt of sin for eternity. We will never be held accountable for that debt of sin because, figuratively speaking, our debt by our faith in Christ was nailed to the cross of Christ, never to be brought up again, paid for in full. Now we can sin and break our fellowship with God. We can sin and find ourselves out of fellowship with Him. That's why 1 John chapter 1 exists. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our sin debt is paid for. Our fellowship needs to keep being restored day by day by day because we do sin. We do violate our relationship with Him. There's a great definition of sin. Dr. Don Davis says, sin is anything that violates the character of God, anything we think, say, or do that violates the character of God. That is sin. Breaks our relationship with Him, our fellowship with Him, and it keeps us from being able to walk with Him through our daily life. That pretty much covers all of it, doesn't it? Anything we think, say, or do that violates the character of God. He erased that certificate of debt and its obligations, which was our responsibility for that sin that was against us and opposed us and stood between us and God. But Ephesians tells us again that because we have a relationship with Him by faith in Jesus Christ, that is erased, completely erased, and we are no longer in debt to Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by His wounds. Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sin. He shed His blood for us because Scripture tells us too, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. No forgiveness. But in Him, we have complete forgiveness. And our sin debt is nailed to the cross. You know, I hear people say this too, and it's interesting. When I stand before God and be held accountable for my sin. No, that's not true for a believer. You will not stand before God and be held accountable for your sin because the debt has been paid in full. You will stand before Jesus Christ at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, but it's not a judgment. It's not a altar of judgment. It's an altar of blessing, where He blesses us with the rewards that we have coming because of our faith in Him. Now, there's a difference between the two. We will never stand at the great white throne judgment, never stand before God to be held accountable for our sin, because Jesus did pay it all. It's incredibly important and amazing. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, I looked over this for a minute, but I'm going to come back to it. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive in the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Now get this. Together with Christ Jesus, He also raised us up and seated us in the heavenlies, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you have been saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, which anyone should boast. When Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, it's the same thing that he's saying in Ephesians chapter 2 as well. But in Ephesians chapter 2, he says something a little bit different. You were raised up and you were seated in heavens. already. Well, we know that we're not in heaven tonight, but we have a place in heaven reserved for us. He seated us. He raised us at that point spiritually to a place in heaven already. And this may sound a little presumptuous on my part, but you know what a director's chair is when you see they're making a movie and the director's sitting in the chair and it says on the back of the chair the name of the director? I've got a chair in heaven right now. It says Scott Thompson. And it's my chair, seated in the heavenlies already. That director's chair is there with my name on it. It's the place that he has seated me in the heavens already. And he has done that with all of us. Every single one of us who have faith in Christ already have a promised place in heaven. Ephesians tells us the same thing when it says that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed by him. God put his seal on us. He's the one that stamped us with his ownership. He's the one that put us in that place of a relationship with him. He's the one that sealed us for eternity. Nobody's going to take that away. Romans 8, read it. Read Romans chapter 8. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. So as we see our way through this passage of Scripture, I want you to recognize that we are not going to be accountable for the sin of our life. Not our past life, not our present life, not even our future life before we go to be with him. We are accountable to him and we have a responsibility to walk in with him and to be in fellowship with him. But he paid the price. He paid the price and he made it possible for us to have that relationship with him. Our sin debt literally erased. We're not responsible for it anymore. And at the same time, he tells us in this passage of Scripture, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them. Warren Wiersbe, on this last verse, Colossians 2:15, he said, "We are victorious in him. Jesus not only dealt with sin and the law on the cross, he also dealt with Satan. He disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of the enemy, exposing Satan's deceit and vileness. He made it possible for us to have victory, because the word victory is found in the word triumph. Jesus Christ won a complete victory on the cross, on our behalf. A lot of things happened on that cross that we can't go into tonight. But the veil was torn. The veil was torn. And we have complete access to God the Father through Christ because of the victory that he gained for us on our behalf. It is so important for us to understand what the Word of God has to say. So important for us to understand the relationship that we have with him. I'm going to say this because I believe it's true. Unfortunately, too many Christians do not understand the Word of God well enough to know the relationship that they have with Christ and the Father because of the cross of Christ, because of what he's done for us, the victory he won for us, the fact that he triumphed over sin. Satan thought that the cross was his victory. Jesus showed him that the cross was not his victory, it was Christ's victory, and the resurrection of Christ is the proof that that is true. We are raised together with him forever, for eternity. And it's the promise that we will be transported, we will be in heaven one day with him, because Jesus rose from the dead and he guaranteed us our resurrection as well. It is an amazing truth and a wonderful truth. And I trust that we recognize that we need to be students of the Word of God to understand the truth of what God has done for us in Christ and made it possible for us to have a relationship with him that will not ever fail. There's no possibility that that relationship with him will be severed because he put his stamp of ownership on us. There's no possibility that we can throw it away. Romans 8 tells us that. There's no possibility that anyone can take it away. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Nothing can separate us from the truth of the Word and what the Word says. Paul teaches it here. He taught it in Romans. He brought it up in almost every book that he wrote. We have a relationship with God through Christ that will never fail us. We have every reason to be victorious. We have every reason to never go backwards again. He's made it possible for us to live this life in a way that glorifies him, and it's for our best interest. He did that for us, that we can be victorious. We can have a relationship with him that is solid, and we can be confident in it. Let's learn to be faithful. Let's learn the Word. Let's grow in the Word. Let's be in a relationship with Christ that will sustain us through the rest of our life for his glory and for our good.
In Colossians 2, 4-15, we are reminded of the strength and sufficiency of Christ. The world may offer persuasive arguments, but true wisdom and knowledge are found in him alone. Through his victory on the cross, he has disarmed the powers that seek to deceive, triumphing over them. So let us stand firm, rooted in Christ, unwavering in faith, and confident in the freedom he has given us. May we walk boldly, knowing that in him we lack nothing. Stay encouraged, stay rooted, and keep pressing on in Christ. We would also like to invite you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure that more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. Amen.